This is a production of Cornell University.
Walk. Sweden. Sweden. Brown. Chopra. Desai. Francisco. Adam Gitlin, Ross Gitlin, Goldberg, Grosjani, Hoffman, Kay, Lee, Miller, Mueller, Muir, Nicoletti, Pinkney, Patel?
Here.
Rapp?
Here.
Rao?
Here.
Yo.
Solman? Solman? Trefison? Wolfers? Wolfers?
Yeah, it's kind of like the
Gitarian? Raverett? Sanangelo? Natalie? That's all.
Thank you.
Do we know if that by like getting more online subscriptions, we'll get less print subscriptions?
If the online is just free and complimentary service, it has nothing to do with what. So we don't get unlimited digital subscriptions. We get the amount of digital subscriptions based on what students currently consume on campus. So it's free based on what we currently have. So approximately 500 licenses will be available for undergraduate students. And you get to take them out for a 24-hour period. And when the websites are all taken out, you can't look at it. But based on the amount of readership, it doesn't seem likely. And if we do need to purchase more, we'll have the opportunity to do so.
I want to address a question that came up in the debate last week. The question from Representative Kelton about raising the question that if adding an amendment on LGBTQ issues would potentially sound discriminatory by LGBTQ students. To that point, I wanted to know if those students knew that in 29 out of 50 states they can be fired just because of who they are, that in only 7 states and districts they can get married, that they will be economically burdened with higher tax costs because the government doesn't recognize the relationship applicable to tax revenue and acceptance on the health benefits of justice. And when they walk down the road holding hands for the first day law, they risk increased harassment and violence. Would they find this amendment discriminatory? If there's a student that finds it discriminatory, you have to ask, have they faced the true reality when they step out of the door of this institution? They are walking directly into this world, our country. Cornell provides a unique opportunity to take students who are in middle and high school have been bullied or harassed because of who they are, which I might add is proven to lower grades, which increase likeliness of lower attendance and dropout rates, and allow them to be more prepared to walk into that bleak world that is working against them to the extent mentioned before. Your vote has the opportunity to take a stand on this wage discrimination. While the amendment does not even get close to mentioning affirmative action for health just increase yield. I would hope that argument would be able to even be willing to vote for the fire. All of you represent the current, past, and the future LGBTQ population on this campus. I hope that you will join me in passing this resolution to take a stand for not just the LGBTQ community, but all communities mentioned in this list, that under the current plan are being prioritized lower and of less interest to this university. For this plan to create diversity, we must ensure equality for all, especially for those whose voices are heard the least.
To the 1% confidence level. Using a 1% error ratio is really significant. You've ever taken stats before, you do a t-test and there's various confidence intervals, so with a 1 alpha equals 1%, it was statistically significant. Basically, there's verifiable mathematical evidence that there is beyond a chance of doubt that URM students with the data under the definition of data currently collected have a lower yield than non-URM students.
But if we were to look at each individual breakdown, does the LGBT community fall within that, or is
So that's why I said under the current definition of URM, because currently we don't even keep track of that data.
So then how would we know?
That's the point of the resolution.
Just to answer that, the reasoning behind that is at the most recent IBQ or IB Panel Council, 10 IB LGBTQ conference, I talked to a lot of the leaders of different IB communities, and I think that Cornell is one that has not only more severely disconnected LGBTQ community, but also one that at least isn't as apparent or visible on campus, and that is probably related to numbers.
Okay.
Next
one
is
what? Oh, Shannon Isaac. Yeah.
I just wanted to talk to recommend that training for students be added to this resolution, diversity training. So one of the things that we emphasize so much here at Cornell is international opportunities and international experiences, and that's because our economy is globalizing. You have to be able to be competent in international contexts in order to be successful professionally. So this same skill of understanding, stepping into other paradigms and understanding different ways of thinking is the same.
Could you speak a little more?
The same skill of understanding other people's paradigms and other people's worldviews that is so critical to being successful in the job market today is the same skill that we need here on campus for every student to have so that we can understand each other better. And I think that this is something that needs to be done at a university level so that every student has the opportunity to really understand these dynamics and understand these measures of culture.
Yeah, with that, I'd like to propose making an amendment to the second bullet under engagement. So I'll try to be as clear as possible. It would read, implement cultural competency training for administration, faculty, staff, comma, employee, comma, students, and RL. That includes culture.
So to just throw off this resolution, one, I would say RAs as well, because RAs get extensive diversity training. I think that this is something that has to extend more to the student body and not only students who are heavily involved in the university. I think that it oftentimes doesn't trickle down to, different organizations and just general bodies. I think that's where it's really important, and that's where you often encounter people making ignorant comments or, situations that are not sensitive to the different backgrounds of people. So I don't know if some of you have heard about the Inter-Dialogue project that is going to be piloting next year. It's a three-year project that the university is now working on, and basically students can become facilitators. And they want to hopefully enroll at least 200 undergraduates each semester to really get into these, in a way, nitty-gritty conversations and conflicts that arise between races, religion, gender, sexuality. And I think that's something really important, and I think that as representatives of the student body, that you guys can really advocate for people enrolling in this inter-dialogue project. And that'll be happening next year, and I'll be back to talk about it again, but I think that's important. But there are a lot of people who are already, engaged in these conversations, so I hope that this resolution just targets the people who are not already involved.
Hi, Sasha. Thank you. I definitely agree with that, and we work with you. Body, whether it's through our email call, our graduates, or any other ways that we can help. So I definitely agree with you. Thank you.
Yes, so I think the people on this generally can tell us about some of the leaders, which is a lot of really important provisions. I just really want to talk about the last media and try to involve a lot, especially talking about the community and the chief and all the way on the end. Talk about URM, the increase in general satisfaction of relationship to URM and other services. And I guess I'm just a little worried that we're focusing too much on the underrepresented minorities and not just the minority communities as a whole, especially with schools that, communication American community is overrepresented and still faces a lot of problems. So instead of just the numbers to say, but I would assume that the LGBTQ community is well represented, like my court officer and not even.
Okay, so I'll respond to two parts. Apologies on our part in terms of some achievement that we meant to include and all others that we have been in the rest of the resolution. So I guess I would propose an amendment that says commit to increasing the number of URM and other protected classes mentioned in Cornell University's non-discrimination policy and EEO protected classes on a federal, state, and local level.
In
competition. And just for clarification, I just wanted to go through the list of what the federal, state, and local EEO protected classes are, just so you understand the breadth of the groups that are included in this resolution. So I'll go through as quickly as possible. Actual received age, color, creed, disability, ethnicity, gender identity or expression, marital status, national origin, race, religion, sexual orientation, military or veteran status, or any combination of these or related factors.
My name is Kennedy. I'm a first semester senior, and I just wanted to reiterate Shannon's point, where she found it crucial that we had to have students also go through the same training that administrators should go through. And I think we shouldn't overlook that, because most of the things we're supposed to be focusing on should be geared to the students. Administrators have already gone through the process, and even though they're not, they don't even though the resolution was geared towards problem demonstration and the employees and all the other people, I think we should be putting more emphasis and focus on students first. And at the same time, I think what he's talking about, the LGBTQ community, I think students need to be given more incentives to learn. And also, if there is a resolution that is passed, they need to see that resolution. And also, it's supposed to be exposed to the students more than just being passed. And then we know there's a resolution out there, but there's really no publication of what is really going on. And I just don't mean it's supposed to just go to the state and that's it. It's supposed to be a very interactive communication where you have people from the ACA go around and tell students, like, this is what we actually passed, and we want you to get the knowledge that we actually pass, because I think this is knowledge at the same time. We shouldn't just be here for just academic reasons, but this is actually helpful, not only for academics, but also for your future life. So I think we're supposed to put more emphasis when it comes to students and diversity, even though we think we have a diverse community, but people really don't interact with each other the way they're supposed to, not because they don't like, but just because they're not exposed to that culture. And I think if we put more emphasis on diversity and students, and not just put emphasis on it, and also be more proactive as to showing students what to do, because you have to understand, majority of the students coming to Cornell are high school students. So, and high school students probably sometimes come, I don't mean this offensively, but naive when it comes to diversity issues. And when you have a leadership community like committee like the SA, it is your responsibility and the responsibility of the ALFAS to educate the students who get here, so that when they get to the outside world, they just don't look like they didn't learn anything from Cornell. And I think if we emphasize that, more diversity for students, I think that would really, 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 really help.
Possible getting like a diverse range of input on the UGC.
And I think the input that we've gotten thus far has been great and glad. I'm so representative of the community came up. So on the point that you mentioned, what we want to do actually is collaborate with a lot of representatives within the community in sending out a letter as well as just a copy of the resolution to the board of trustees just to kind of echo and emphasize how big of the input that the student body deserves. So thank you very much for being here.
Underrepresented community of community which are cheaper or other people. But this is an extent. These are the minor land on Carol Yami and Myanmar SBTA, right? They are the people who enter the meeting, they are the ones who enter the conversation. And this they have been the top of my head for a very long time that some of them never just announced the chance. The teaching in my head appears not these people are not totally, but there are many powers and like, you probably don't know, but even in IFC, they have a good thing, like, I can prevent it, anyone, whatever they want, so they could prevent poverty, like, the LGBT population if they want. So those who have a disability, like, we need to prevent them, and these people definitely need to be part of this. And, yeah, your argument just doesn't make any sense to me. Thanks.
Thanks, Chen.
Thank you, Jay. And to that point, I'm actually working right now with Chris Andrews, who has designed and the full in OFSA to include discrimination policy for the Greek system.
Thanks.
All right, so that's the end of our discussion. Is there anyone that hasn't spoken out would like to speak on the first slide?
Okay.
There's actually someone on the second speaker that I'd like to offer a call question.
Point of parliamentary procedure.
Yes.
Representative Scalpo has spoken twice already, so.
I didn't write it down on the agenda, so I wrote it down. I think
other people should be able to speak twice before he speaks again.
Sorry. Next
one is
the
Block.
Okay, so there's been a
call question. I moved to divide the resolution so I consider separate meetings to be there for the talk about.
So, point of parliamentary procedure, Representative Scalpo cannot make that motion unless he has the floor because of the proposed amendment, and from my knowledge, you cannot make a proposed amendment unless you are granted speaking rights by the chair.
It's fine. We have a floor.
I'd also like to present, and I think that's not a motion that we've never entertained in the essay.
Second for one?
Ballack?
Yes.
Block?
Yes.
Whedon?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Chopra?
Yes.
Desai?
Yes.
Francisco?
Yes.
Adam Gitlin?
Yes.
Ross Gitlin?
Yes.
Goldberg?
Yes.
Gurjani?
Yes.
Sorry? K? Sorry? Lee?
Yes.
Miller? Mueller? Muir? Nicoletti? Pinckney? Patel?
In.
Rao?
Yes.
Gelfo?
No.
Zolman?
Yes.
Trefarsen?
Yes.
Wolford?
Yes.
Gutierrez?
Yes.
Resolution has been on our agenda for the past 2 weeks. It's something that me and Trustee Boris have been working on for pretty much the entire year. We've made a lot of progress so far, recently the registrar has contacted me, and me and her and Trustee Boris are going to be working together over the next month and a few weeks to make a final recommendation before July 1st where the new tiered system would ultimately take effect. I have a meeting with her coming up. She wanted to be here today, but unfortunately she couldn't. I have a meeting with her on Monday the 14th to finalize our recommendation and get it approved. So I think this will definitely be very important when writing that recommendation.
Great. So is there any
Oh, and I have some amendments that I just have to make because. Yeah, so there's a typo in the first beat there before resolve, and that should be CUID, not CAUV. And I graduate in the year 15, and Alex Ward graduates in the year 13. And also in the first whereas clause, the first year since 2006. First, whereas clause.
2011-2012 academic year, the first year since 2006.
Okay, so first.
And then take up the second. No.
Okay, so we're reading whereas the 2011-2012 academic year, the first year since 2006, that students are being charged for the first time. All right, Chelsea, is that okay?
Yep.
Great. All right, so first on the speed of this, my question is from Operation Corral.
No, I think I've seen some guys that are trying to get this, but I don't agree with the concept of this resolution. I think in some ways it might encourage reckless behavior. The idea that Cornell is nickel and diming students, I don't think it's really nickel and diming students to make you pay for something that you use. Cornell said, charge $100 or whatever, but you can give everyone free printing, and people might start printing more than one paper. But in the current structure, whether you call it nickel and diming or pay as you go, I think it actually encourages responsibility among students. And I think if you lose your ID, you should pay the cost of making a new ID. I don't think you should be penalized if you're a more protected person. And I don't think that if you're a less protected person, then you should be subsidizing the cost of other people. So I think charging pressure, if you charge anyone who loses an ID, is fair. Those who lose ID will pay if they lose them, and those who don't will have to subsidize the cost of people for him.
So I think there's a few things. The first is that it's not just a question of how forgetful people are, but how responsible they are. And I think if you are someone who's very unresponsible with your ID card, that's fine to punish and discourage. But second of all, I'm not thinking of it as a fairness aspect, it's a practical one. We've seen this year that the number of ID placements have gone down, and simultaneously the use of temporary dieting products have gone up. So I've seen it that people are discouraged. They might be improving their IDs at the same rate, but are discouraged from getting it replaced. And we think that's a safety issue, that there are people that just don't get their IDs replaced because of the fee, but that's something we want to address.
I just want to say this resolution is really great because you lose your idea the first time and you kind of learn from it, but the idea of a tier system is actually a great idea. I think losing it the first time, I understand like coming from John, but I think like sometimes you don't realize you lost it the first time, or like once you lose it that first time, you're going to know that you're going to know. And in terms of incentives, like it's about learning, so like each increase in cost, if you're going to reinforce behavior that you cannot lose your idea.
any of us, you know, responsible people, the vast majority are going to have their freshman year ID, you know, when they graduate, that means that responsible people are still going to move in. You know, I say from, you know, my example, my idea is falling apart, and, you know, not like they're responsible with it.
I just also want to bring everybody's attention for those living in Cornell housing. Each time that you go to your dorm and you don't have your ID card to let you in and you call the RA and call, there's a $5 charge on top of that. So if you lose your ID for 2 days and you're without your ID card and you call the RA and call, you're potentially talking about somewhere between $5 and $20 of just being able to get into your building.
All right, next on the speaker list is Matthew. And again, anyone else who would like to speak, just raise your hand.
All right, so I support this resolution, but I support it for a very specific reason, and that is the tier system that I actually laid out, right? This is giving the student assembly an opportunity to work with the university registrar to set up a system that the university thinks works, and it's also better for students. And honestly, while the main mission should be to discourage people from losing their IDs, or, you know, while not punishing people who just kind of get screwed every now and then. And so a tiered system allows that to happen. You know, I lost my ID this year, so I know that Representative Mueller doesn't plan on losing his ID in a year. But neither did I, and then I went running, and I checked my pocket, and I no longer had my ID, and it stopped. And it turned up like 5 days later. That was unfortunate. So I think this system allows people to not get screwed the first time, or potentially, if the registrar thinks it's a good idea, while also making sure that we're discouraging people from putting the registrar through the motions of having to replace the same person's ID 5 times. So it allows the registrar to have the flexibility to make a better system and give student assembly a voice in that process, which is a good idea.
Next
on
the speaker
First, I want to thank Matt for coming back and speaking. Really appreciate it. Yeah, it was a way. Second of all, I just wanted to ask both John. We're here to represent the student body. We're trying to reduce the fees for the student body. I don't understand why. I understand the fundamental, you know, philosophical approach that or at least John is taking, but I don't understand if we're sort of working with the registrar to reduce fees for the student body, why we would be opposed to that. Second of all, and more for John Brown, you know, Cornell makes you have an ID. It's a requirement of the university. I don't understand why you would be opposed to not charging the student body for something that they're not even required, that they are required to purchase from the university. Does that make sense?
Whoa.
So before I make my initial comment, I wanted to respond to a couple of things that the president-elect given. So first of all, just because we're representing the student body doesn't mean that we have to make decisions that we think students would agree with, or that students would advocate for. The whole point of being an elected body is that we make decisions that we think are best for students, not that students would personally advocate for. The second thing is, if costs are automatically incorporated into the cards, like I don't, like we individually are paying for these cards out of tuition, so whether or not like it's something that we would be outside of the university or not, like the university has the right to label, you know, what it is that is required for us to be on campus. I agree with the fundamental philosophy behind what Vice President Rao, future Vice President Mueller are saying. I guess my response to them would be, any time you are creating, you know, in essence, what is a tax, you're charging all students in order to provide a student, or in order to provide a service for all students. And when you do a cost like that, I think you want to ask, are you just shifting money from one pocket to another, or are you creating some sort of economies of scale, or is there an externality that's created a positive that we are benefiting from? And And I think in that respect, my answer would be that the cost of externality is the safety argument. Because I think the cost that we are paying for is so that you didn't have, you know, the actual two main cars, and you know, like, as representative advances said, a lot of times it's out of our control, but $40 can be the difference for someone who is on the lower side of socioeconomic status between buying a car and not. And I don't necessarily want freshmen or sophomores waiting outside of their door on North or West campus for someone else to come through at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, because of a $40 fee that we could eliminate through a pretty low level tax across all campuses. So that would be my colleague on the rationale for back in the room again.
So, thank you for the economic analysis, and thanks for
So, first, I just want to say I'm completely in favor of this resolution for a number of the reasons on the side. But I also just want to point out something else that I think we should all consider, and that's that part of the replacement fee, part of it is for the actual card, but the other part is for the actual labor. And I really don't think students should be billed for that labor, because last semester I left my ID, and I went down to the basement of Day Hall to get my replacement, and there were just two people at a desk twiddling their thumbs, just sitting there. Really, it didn't look like they had much to do. And I remember hearing, actually, 2 weeks ago that, you know, the cost of the card is about $35, and the cost of the labor is about $5. And I think it was pretty ridiculous to pay $5 for the amount of labor when it took about 1 or 2 minutes to make a new card. And I think paying $5 for that is way too much, and I would like to see, or maybe at least propose, just an amendment that, you know, limits the cost of the labor maybe just to $1. Or just try to mitigate it a little bit.
All right, next one speaker, this is Representative Gibbs.
So I'm just going to share a little anecdote. So as a freshman, I had the opportunity to buy actually throw my ID into the sewer. And, you know, now I've learned not to lose. I waited 2 days not to get a new ID because I did not want to spend that $40. I really do think once you lose it, you have to learn. And I'm going to give you the that. Hey, I might go with that. I don't have my ID right now because it's been a month because I haven't gone to Day Hall to get a replacement. I agree, and I was thinking about that, but I didn't want to give $40. And I can get the slow day tomorrow as of right now because I don't have an ID, so I can go tomorrow morning. So I completely agree with Representative Gibbs.
And just to add that, I don't have an ID every time you go to Iowa. So another reason why we need to do this. Next one of the speakers is the Vice President of Public Relations, Gary Thompson. Please try to move down. Please try to move down.
The first, how it's going to be possible to save money is that we take a tier system to start.
discourage people from using their IDs, and the cost is created when the IDs are lost. So we think if you add the system, the people who are on the upright will use their ID less, which means there will be less cost to register to reduce it, but it will still be saving some money because overall we'll be spending less on IDs. As for the second part, we do think there will be losers, but I don't think the correct characterization is that people are forgetful. I don't think when most people lose their ID and they put it on like their guest and then forget about it. I think it's when they're walking by a sewer or might be under the influence of certain substances. And we think that it's more a question of responsibility than it is of forgetfulness. But that could be up for you.
All right. Next
up,
Sasha.
Hi, I'm Sasha. I'm a junior. A lot of you know me about organizing. So I actually agree with this resolution, but I just want to make a comment that it seems like a lot of SA members seem like really passionate about this ID situation, and like there wasn't that much conversation about diversity or input on that one as much as there is on this one. I mean, it's kind of a little confusing that everyone's like, yeah, and like putting these like real poignant points out there, but when we have, you know, something right before this, it didn't extend it that long. And also, I just have a kind of question, like, do these IDs, like, through, I don't know where that $40 main number came from, but I know other schools, they have people on here, they have like another Ivy League university that like my siblings would join now, you know what I mean? And I think it's just unnecessary that I'm even like recharge students when we're paying for dying or paying for all these other stuff anyway. Does this really make the biggest like difference? No. So that's why I'm kind of just like, I agree with you guys. That makes sense. Take yourself off the speaker list so you get a link, get the idea of negotiating the second assessment and show that to your vote. So make sure that if you're saying something with original thought and this is something that can match our conversation. So by trying to find a good way.
This resolution is a no-brainer. We're reducing fees, cost neutral for the registrar. We're removing the high formative cost of the first replacement, which is often through accidental loss, and the second and the third and fourth one, that's your fault. And if you're going to pay higher than your replacement fee, then you can say to yourself with fair warning, we can support this. I know that there's a good form of speakers list, but I think we're all made up our mind, and this should be passed. This is a no-brainer. We call the question.
All right, so we're going to need to vote on whether it's going to call the question or not. If it has to pass, no. It has to pass by 2/3. So we're going to go to platter vote to vote on the vote. Okay, hold on. Okay, say what you need to do.
I suspect because one of the issues that has come up recently is people using other people's Cornell ID as a secondary or fake identification for purchasing alcohol beverages, and this would allow people to essentially go through the tech and ID.
Okay, so from your point of view, it is passed a resolution which said that it is PCIJA for anyone who has possession of fake ID of Cornell ID, so that would kind of counter it.
I was probably in sense, but just that.
And then also in sense from J-Rout. Alright, so we're going to vote. So there's both in sense of it taken back. We're just going to vote on the resolution. As we have resolution number 45. Alright, so there's another consent. We're going to vote to vote. It needs to pass by 2/3 to be able to vote on the resolution. So you're voting. Voting on the resolution, no in favor of not voting on the resolution. So, all those on the way to vote, simply raise your hand.
There's a 10, I'd rather discussion continue.
All right, all those that vote no?
voting members.
Voting on resolution number 45, our last resolution. So all those in favor of passing the resolution number 45, the student assembly will get the student body after.
Yep, they're
first.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.